Federal Credit Union, Emporia State University, and Flint Hills Technical College.
KVOE live and local. Good morning. It is 8:22, 21 degrees, and it is time for Tech Talk with Flint Hills Technical College President Dr. Karen Darty. Tech Talk is brought to you this morning by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, Lyon County's leading mortgage lender, NMLS number 424226.
Like what you buy? Love how you spend it. Credit cards are available at Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Enjoy local service. Talk to the staff you know and trust right here in Emporia. Free balance transfer to consolidate other credit cards to a lower rate at ESFCU. Choose from multiple card types to fit your needs. Apply online at esfcu.com or text or call them today to get started. 620-342-2336. Federally insured by the NCUA, Emporia State Federal Credit Union.
It is time for Tech Talk here on KVOE, and we're, as always, pleased to be joined by Flint Hills Technical College President Karen Darty this morning.
Karen, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Happy New Year, Chuck. Happy New Year, Ron. Appreciate it.
Glad to have you on board. How is the holidays for you?
They were delightful. So it was wonderful to come back and open the spring 2025 semester with a day off last week. So that was, and then a couple of late starts. That got us all off kilter. But actually, students came back yesterday. Today is day two of our spring 2025 semester, and it is hopping here. So we've got a lot of buzz and activity, and so it's all good. We have a great start to the spring 2025 semester.
Well, you have been active over the holiday season, Karen, and that's due to the unfortunate announcement of Tyson. So how has your Tyson support in those activities been going?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Thanks for asking that one, because our Adult Education Center has been part of the rapid response with Kansas Works and several other community partners. And so with the Adult Education Center, they had a resume and resource lab in a partnership with both Southeast Kansas Works and Emporia Public Library on January 2nd. And then they have another one on Thursday at 3:45 p.m. on Thursday afternoon. So there is a resume and resource lab that you would have Southeast Kansas Works, Emporia Public Library folks, and the Adult Ed Center staff supporting anyone who might want to come in and work on their resume or other resources as they might be looking to update materials as they may go into a job search.
That's obviously, I would assume there's a lot of people who would be very interested in kind of a resume refresh coming up here, specifically with those two particular announcements, but also some that have happened in the retail sector as well. President Darty, what are you seeing here when it comes to, I guess, maybe the interest in retraining now or maybe leading into the spring semester and how you're adjusting to some of the questions that you're getting?
Yeah, right. Okay, so Chuck, what we've done here in that regard, our business and industry division, we have hired another trainer for our commercial driver's license, the CDL program. So we are going to be able to increase those numbers of offerings of the CDL licensing class. That's also in partnership for some of these situations with Southeast Kansas Works, because they can help support students as well. With some financing, just give them scholarships and fund and pay for some of this training. And so if anyone is interested, certainly reach out both to Flint Hills Tech College and Southeast Kansas Works if there's anything related to the CDL training. In particular, we have our board approved last night a purchase of a new, a new power unit, so a new truck that's an automatic. So we have both a manual shift and an automatic, and then also then a new trailer, another trailer. So we are really gearing up to respond to some of these opportunities for both Tyson and other folks who have that interest. What I will add related to that is we will have a class that starts, I think, tentatively around February 17th, 18th, somewhere in that range, so that we can support some of those Tyson For those of you who are familiar, I believe also PBX is the logistics carrier for the grounds of Tyson, and so maybe some of the PBX employees already have some significant CDL experience, but they may not have the licensure. So we are also working specifically with those employees to try to help them get the CDL licensure. And so really, like you said, Ron, a lot of folks here at the college did not have that break. They were working tirelessly to make sure that we are supporting some of the needs of our community members and making sure we've got resources for them. I also want to give a shout-out to Patterson Grant, because the Patterson Foundation provided us a grant that allowed us to expand our resources with the CDL program.
And this is Tech Talk with Flint Hills Technical College President Dr. Karen Daugherty, monthly here on KVOE, brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Karen, any other programs that you're thinking may see some extra activity from, you know, the job losses we're seeing around here?
Well, our faculty on the credit-bearing side have indicated that if they get the interest from folks, they will start a new section. And so our faculty are very willing. So, for instance, our industrial technology program that is willing to start some classes in March to respond to this. Another part of the March initiative for the Industrial Engineering Technology Program is we will have two classes taught in Spanish. And so two entry-level classes in March will start, and they will be taught in Spanish. And so we have a Spanish-speaking adjunct who will be teaching those for us. So we have also on the credit-bearing side some opportunities for folks who might want to try to start in March and see what opportunities are available for them. And again, simply reach out to the college and fhtc.edu. Reach out to us here at the college, and we can help you get set up if anyone is interested in that opportunity that might come in March.
President Daugherty, with the, you know, the planning that's been underway right now, we've been talking about space, you know, issues, space concerns, and space plans for now, I'm going to say probably about a year to almost 18 months now. How does this, you know, this particular conversation or these individual conversations maybe adjust the tentative plans that you had going into the spring semester earlier, or do they really cause much of an adjustment for you at all when it comes to making some significant space adjustments?
Chuck, guess what?
What?
Our board approved last night a bid to build a maintenance facility. That will be built in the southeast corner of our main campus. That is the first domino that helps us relocate our spaces that have been taken up with maintenance crew equipment. So the tractor, the gator, the lawnmower, the workshop. There's five or six different areas, seven different areas that we are going to be able to open up for academic resources as we relocate, as we build this facility. So we're probably still looking, you know, at 6 to 9 months, maybe the year, but we're still looking at 6 to 9 months. But what we're hoping is that maybe by the fall semester is going to open up for us some of these academic spaces as we relocate our power plant technology program to the main campus, as we relocate the multimedia design to the main campus. So those programs were at the downtown campus. As those relocate to this campus, we are going to have a little bit of space that they're going to be able to wiggle into. And then, as you're aware, we're continuing to have conversations and look at renderings and schematics for an advanced manufacturing facility. We are also hoping to add to that, probably at our South campus. We need to do some FEMA work and investigation, but at our South campus, we will add the precision agriculture facility. So I think the next 6 to 9 months might be a little bit crowded, but I believe it will loosen up a little bit for us as we look to this maintenance facility, and because they have their equipment in two or three different spaces, and it's kind of ad hoc all over. So this is going to be really a good first domino that helps us get, you know, some of our buildings to exclusively academic spaces and then dedicate this space for our maintenance folks, and they certainly deserve that.
Well, you certainly want to take the wiggling out of any plan. That is for sure.
Wiggles good in certain circumstances.
So how large will this maintenance facility be, Karen?
And I had that square footage, and it's just like I knew as I was describing that you were going to ask that. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I totally forgot the square footage of it. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to – I can take a minute and go grab that, but I'm going to have to follow up on that. So
You're fine.
Yeah, sorry about it. It's not going to be ginormous, obviously. It's not going to be this gigantic arching facility, but it is a very functional it's going to – those of you that might be familiar with the Stover facility, maybe about that size.
Okay,
Yeah, so kind of workshop size for an operation our size.
One of the things, actually a couple of things that I see here for, you know, the Board of Trustees agenda from yesterday, late yesterday, early evening time period is a conversation about tuition and fees and then also budgetary matters. Maybe you can start us with tuition and fees and kind of where the conversation currently sits for upcoming semesters.
Yeah, you bet. So we are starting to meet with each of our programs right now. So we are undergoing our budget meetings with the program leaders and with faculty to see what those needs are and what those resources are that they've got upcoming. So we're in the process of setting our budget and each program's budget. We usually, you know, need to look at the technical costs, the gas costs, the operational costs, the overhead costs. What we really try to do is make sure that does not convert into costs for students that are unreasonable or untenable. So we are always have these conversations. The February meeting is where our board has the reading for the tuition and fees. And so because we will start registering in early March, and so they will have that decision. We'll bring that information to them. It's not fair. It's not really. I don't have the data right now to say, yeah, we'll go up a dollar or two, or no, we'll stay steady. Or some programs, we have so many programs that have somewhat of a different. We have general education tuition rate, and then we have, you know, other courses that might have a flat tuition rate, but welding might be a little bit more expensive because of the supplies. Dental hygiene is sometimes a little bit more expensive because of the gases and the supplies, and we have the resources there. So those programs sometimes are a little bit higher in that tuition cost, and so those are some things we have to double check and see what those needs are as we move into the next academic year. We've been very responsive and responsible in trying to make sure that we are not making our programs unattainable for students. And so we've had waiting lists for some of our highly successful programs, and so we do feel like we're still in the range, and we certainly will not cost our students out of the opportunity to getting an education. We certainly are about access.
Karen, anything you've been hearing from local legislators? The Kansas legislative session began on Monday,
right,
officially, but anything you've been hearing from the legislature positively or negatively finance-wise this upcoming session?
I met, you know, at the end of December, early January, end of December with Mark Schreiber and Mike Argabright, so I met with them and visit with them a little bit, and I'm going to Topeka next week. So the Tech College system has 6 or 7 items that we are presenting and working with our legislators on for collective Flint, or technical college legislative items. we don't see anything that is alarming to us right now or that is concerning to a degree that we would have any major concerns. But certainly, as you say, you know, when it's just all the headlines hit yesterday, and so we will be watching that, and then I will have my thumb on the pulse as I make my visits probably about every 2 weeks up there.
Okay.
Good deal. President Daugherty, anything else you wanted to bring up here with us this morning? Because I think that pretty much exhausts the exhausted list of questions that we had.
Wow, I'm exhausted. I would encourage folks to call 620-343-4600 or visit our website, fhtc.edu, if you want to learn more about any class opportunities. We are still registering through Friday. So any opportunities anybody wants to learn about, our advisors and student support staff will take care of you. If you need to look into scholarships, we can look at that as well. So certainly give us a call, and we will set you on the path for your goals for 2025.
We are all exhausted, and that will bring Tech Talk to a screeching halt here.
All right.
Tuesday, January 14th. Karen, as always, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Appreciate it, y'all. Appreciate Emporia State Federal Credit Union for sponsoring this. We enjoy doing it.
Have a great day.
All is well. See you later.
Flint Hills Tech College President Dr. Karen Daugherty with Tech Talk. Brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, Lyon County's leading mortgage lender. NMLS number 424-226, Emporia State Federal Credit Union. It's 8:38. Good morning.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Santa Ana winds kicking up once again in Southern California. Firefighters keeping a close eye on the flames. Dozens of water trucks are in place to replenish supplies after hydrants ran dry last week. Fire crews.